The Sunnah and the commands of Allah. The Sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakira. The Sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakira.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
It is the 12th night of Jumad al-Ukhra, 1446 Hijri. With respect to this, from Arba'in Atar, page number 12, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I will meet such people at the pond of Kosar whom I will recognize only because of their abundant recitation of durood upon me.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Dr. Abdul Hafiz Atari speaking from China. Your honors, sometimes it is observed that a person makes effort in terms of his profession, his work, for lawful sustenance, and he has also acquired all the skills and requirements in it, but despite this, there remains a situation of uncertainty. A constant concern remains as to what will happen after this job, or after earning a living through this, what will happen ahead. So kindly guide what method should be adopted so that this concern may be reduced, so that trust upon Allah Almighty may increase further.
The Lord who created us has also taken the sustenance upon the responsibility of His generosity. As long as He has decided to keep someone alive, it is in His knowledge how long to keep whom alive. So whoever walks upon the earth, the sustenance of all of them, whether human, animal, or jinns, the sustenance of all is upon the responsibility of His generosity. The blessed verse.
وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا.
And there is no moving creature on earth except that its sustenance is upon Allah's bestowal.
When Allah Almighty has taken the sustenance upon the responsibility of His generosity, then He will bestow it. So now for the bondsman to impose unnecessary worries upon himself and to nurture stress is obviously his greed, his ignorance. This is not wisdom either. Allah Almighty has taken the responsibility of sustenance upon His grace, but still man wanders restlessly, and he has not taken the forgiveness upon himself that he will forgive everyone. He has not taken this upon himself, but for that no one concerns himself. No one worries, although one should worry for forgiveness. He is the one who gives sustenance. As long as people say my sustenance has stopped, generally you must have heard this. And I say, if you want to see someone whose sustenance has stopped, then go to the graveyard. Those who are in the soil, their sustenance had stopped. That is why they are now inside. Those whose sustenance remains, now even if he is digging a grave, his sustenance remains. That is why he is digging the grave. So whoever is alive, his sustenance has not stopped. It is ongoing. So in any case, it is that trust upon Allah, true and firm trust. One should have firm trust upon Allah. One should rely upon Him. If Allah Almighty gives someone apparent hardship too, then He will remove it, as it is stated in the Holy Quran.
وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا.
Translation from Khan Suleiman. And whosoever fears Allah, Allah will create for him a way of salvation. And Allah will provide him sustenance from where he could not even imagine. and whoever relies upon Allah, so He is sufficient for him. Indeed, Allah is to complete His task. Indeed, Allah has set a proper measure for all things. So that's why if a bondsman relies upon Allah, then there is no issue for him.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
A question is submitted to the court of the dear Amiri Ahli Sunnat while replying to someone's message in writing Salam. If someone wrote AOA and at the same time also said Assalamu alaikum with his tongue, then will he receive reward or not? Kindly provide an answer.
It is prohibited. Salam will not be considered done through this. One should not even shorten it like this. Just like some write M for Muhammad or M-O-H-D. They blacken page after page normally. They write so much. They speak so much. The tongue never gets tired, though the rest of the body does. They will exhaust the other person's mind, but when it comes to taking the name of Allah and His Messenger, they look for short forms like M. Just like when someone sends a long message and people keep chattering the whole day, someone sends a full message and they just send a sticker in response. They just stick a heart. What does that heart mean? They send someone a red heart and someone a green heart. Why do they stick this? Should we take red as a symbol of anger, or what should we understand? Red means rage and green means happiness, that I am pleased with your message. Now, when the poor person has sent you such a detailed message, he should hear two words from you too. Now we are searching for a sticker. Searching for a sticker of inshallah takes time. As for me, I often just say the supplication verbally like
inshallah, inshallah al-kareem, mashallah, tabarakallah.
I say these even when it is not necessary to speak a lot. Rather than searching for a sticker, it is better for my tongue to remember Allah. I do that too. I send stickers too, depending on the situation. But till today in life, I have never sent a heart. It just never made sense to me. What does that symbol even mean? Heart. Maybe it seems to be a sign of happiness that I was happy with your message. All right? But here there is full possibility of falsehood. Were you actually happy with the message, or were you annoyed? Oh, where has he come from? Throw a heart at his feet. Maybe he will be appeased. Not the real heart, but the sticker. So here too, there will remain the danger of falsehood in stickers. It is the same thing that the Lord knows the state of our hearts. Or sometimes people send flowers. Flowers too are a sign of happiness. Someone's message came and the mood got spoiled and you sent him a flower. You sent a bouquet. It is a sign of happiness. Now, whether it was truth or falsehood, you people decide. Why do you do like this? Stickers have created big problems. One Islamic brother was very upset. He sent me a message. I had sent a supplication message. Actually, it was his father's or mother's death anniversary. He had sent a message that please make supplication. So I sent the usual voice message of supplication and donated virtues, that whatever good deeds I have, I donate them as is normally done. That is what I did. The message is done within a minute, generally of this kind. I sent that. He became so happy. He replied to me saying, I send a message in a group of 200 and they just say the word Ameen, or someone sends a sticker. They say nothing at all. Very rarely does anyone donate virtues or say even two words. That poor guy was very disheartened, saying, what should I do? Either the people do not know how to donate virtues. That could be the case too. That poor person is saying, it is my mother's death anniversary. Please donate virtues. And you are tossing hearts in response, or showering flowers. You are showering flowers. So what has happened to you? So you should donate virtues even with just one durood, even on the death anniversary of my sisters, etc. Then reciting Surah Al-Fatiha and Kul Hu Allah 11 times, or Kul Hu Allah even 3 times. I think that might be difficult to recite. I ask for one durood sharif. Perhaps one durood sharif will be easier. My sister will benefit from it. Otherwise, if I ask to recite more, then even that little might not get done. So one durood sharif is not a small blessing, brother. If Allah Almighty forgives Muslims of the entire universe due to that one durood sharif, then there is no shortage in His treasures. That is a separate matter. Forgiveness does not only mean that all the sins committed so far have been pardoned. Forgiveness also sometimes means elevation of rank. So the meaning is that Allah Almighty, so even one durood is a very great blessing. People think it is nothing. Sometimes they even send donation of virtues of the Quran to me.
Alhamdulillah.
So in any case, I do not trouble people too much. As they recite one durood and donate the reward, this is a strategy that perhaps most of those who read or listen to the message actually recite it. So, inshallah, in this way, my deceased loved ones would be benefited. The true benefit is given by Allah alone. May Allah forgive us all without accountability. So in any case, I was saying that whoever asks for donation of virtues, one already has some recitations. The imperfect deeds of my lifetime, may Allah Almighty grant reward by His mercy, and I present it in the court of the Prophet. And by virtue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I donate the reward to your deceased mother or your deceased father. So how long does it take to say this much? I am saying this much, so perhaps it is taking time. But really, if you give it in an audio message, then it will not take time. If you go looking for a heart, perhaps that might take time.
Aray, khuda ke bando, zara mere dil ko dhundo.
Right? That heart has got stuck into the sticker. Remove it from there and paste it elsewhere. The heart has come into the sticker. So Allah Almighty is the most generous.
Rahmat-e haq baha nami juyat. Rahmat-e haq baha nami juyat.
The mercy of Allah does not demand a price. His mercy seeks an excuse. So for this reason, one should make a Muslim's heart happy with caution. I mean, in a permissible manner, not by false praise, not by lying. One should make him happy through permissible things. May Allah enable me as well and grant you the ability too.
Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala.
My question to Amiri Ahli Sunnat is that we are here in Dubai. I am from Punjab, Pakistan. So here the laundry service washes and returns clothes to all individuals. There are non-Muslims here as well. They collect the clothes of Muslims and non-Muslims together. Are those clothes pure? It is an automatic machine. Clothes are put in it for 25 minutes. Water comes in it fully three times, then it gets cleaned, then it dries. Do those clothes become pure?
Yes, the clothes will become pure, and it is better that, one should give one's clothes after purifying them. I have had the privilege of the company of the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, Mufti Waqaruddin Sahab Rahimahullah. I visited him many times. So I know about him that he himself used to say, I purify the clothes washed by the washerman just as impure clothes are purified. This was the piety of his eminence. The clothes do become pure. So as much as possible, a person should purify his clothes himself. Wherever possible, whoever has the capability and strength, he should do so.
Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala.
Via SMS, Sakit Asan is asking, if someone forgets to sit in the second rak'at of Witr, what is the ruling?
If he stood up, then he should complete the prayer and perform sajda sahu to complete his salah. Since the first qada was missed, he left a wajib.
Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala.
The tasbih that is recited in ruku, if it is recited in sajda, then what is the ruling on the prayer?
There is no issue. The sunnah is to recite the prescribed one in its place. If it is recited mistakenly, then there is no problem, no sin, and no sajda sahu is due on him.
Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala.
Sheikh, through social media, we have received a question from a village in Mirpur Khas. In the village, there was a masjid which was demolished. Now, at another place, a masjid has been built. So, is it allowed to build a madrasa in the place of the masjid which was demolished?
If that masjid is really a masjid, then it is a masjid till Judgment Day. Whether there is a building or not, it will remain a masjid, and its respect will be the same as that of a masjid. Neither will a madrasa be built here, nor is it allowed to build Jamiatul Madina, nor any other thing. It is only a masjid. If another masjid has been built, it is fine. Though it has been built, that is also a masjid. But this one should also be made to some extent. It should be given the form of a masjid. Thus its respect will remain and its right will also be fulfilled. People will perform worship and offer prayers. The right of the masjid is that the salah congregation should be established five times for the prayers in it. It is wajib on the people living in its surroundings, right? The right of the masjid is wajib. If no one offers salah in it and if they do not arrange congregation, they will be sinful.
Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Sir, can we tell our spiritual guide or teacher about our sins so that he rectifies us?
If needed, say it in such a way that no one else comes to know about it. Now going around telling others that I commit such and such sin. Now I have sent a message to my spiritual guide. Let's see what happens. This should not happen. There is no harm in telling one's sheikh with the intention of his own reform. And even in this case, if it works without telling, then let it work by saying, please pray for me to give up my habit of sins. This can also be said, and wherever one can hide it, he should do so. This is what is necessary. Otherwise, a person falls from his spiritual guide's sight, doesn't he? If he has committed some disgusting sin, a very filthy sin, and tells his spiritual guide, I commit this sin, I do not give up my habit, please pray. The spiritual guide may feel disgust. He is also human after all. He may think, he is like that.
The permission that Imam Ghazali rahimahullah has given is that the intention is to take reform from this and how one should treat this sin.
Yes.
Then one may share it.
Yes, he is asking for the treatment of how to save himself from this sin. Or give me some invocation so that I get rid of this sin. Or tell me some action such that if I act on it, I will give up my habit, etc. So, I mean, there should be a correct purpose for expressing a sin. Here, people generally reveal their sins to each other. This is what is called audacity. I mean, he is a culprit in the court of Allah Almighty. And keeps saying, I am a culprit in the court of Allah Almighty. This is such a bad thing. If a person commits a crime against a common person, he hides it thinking, brother, he will become mistrustful of me. And Allah Almighty is the one who knows the states of our hearts. He knows everything. But now telling others, I commit such and such sin. Today I did not offer Fajr Salah. Brother, I was lazy. It was very cold. I woke up but wrapped up and slept. I will offer it later as missed Salah. People talk like this amongst themselves. This is haram. Such talks are haram. This is a sin. First you committed a sin. This is adding insult to injury. They tell others. I mean, this unwise person does not realize at all that he has committed a crime or committed a very big sin, that he deliberately missed the prayer and he is telling others about it. I repent and seek forgiveness from Allah Almighty. He will have to repent from this too. And do not tell anyone about the sin. Rather, Allah Almighty forbid, if someone's prayer has been missed, for example, he woke up late in Fajr and Salah has been missed and now he has offered it. After waking up, he offered the missed Salah. Now after that, suppose someone asked, brother, did you offer Fajr Salah or not? Since he has made up for the missed Salah, he should not give details that he made up for his missed Salah. Say, Alhamdulillah, I have offered the Salah. He should say this, I have offered the Fajr prayer. He did not ask about the details of the missed Salah. He does not know whether it was missed or offered in time. So here too, I mean, the speaker should be very cautious. Without need, one should not express his sin, as this too is a sin.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah, in a dream, I saw Amiri Ahli Sunnah and my family in paradise. And amongst them was my dear grandmother. She was wearing a green dress and a white scarf and was rocking me on a swing. Alhamdulillah, someone saw a beautiful dream regarding my grandmother in which a swing came down from heaven and my beloved late grandmother was enjoying a ride on the swing. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Mashallah.
He told me his dream in detail. It was a long dream. His father has taken only the important things from it. Well, a good dream is good. And there are also the benefits of sharing a good dream. It will please his family members. Allah Almighty shows his generosity to whomever he wills. Then he saw his grandmother dressed in green. Now he does not know that there is excellence regarding a green dress as well. He is a child. There is an excellence of a green dress. Seeing a deceased Muslim dressed in green or white is a good sign. Similarly, seeing one's loved one in paradise is an excellent sign. Or seeing even a living person or oneself in paradise is also a good sign. The Holy Companion, son of a Holy Companion, Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrates, I dreamt that I had a piece of silk in my hand. It flies me wherever in paradise I want to go. I related this dream to Sayyidatuna Hafsa radiallahu anha. And Sayyidatuna Hafsa radiallahu anha presented it in the great court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, he said, your brother is a virtuous person. Or Abdullah is a pious person. Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah states about this hadith. The silk handkerchief which Sayyiduna Abdullah radiallahu anhu saw in his dream is his good deeds. Its whiteness is his sincerity. Its cleanliness is the cleanliness of his heart. Hence, Sayyiduna Abdullah is quite a pious, virtuous, and sincere follower of the religion. Remember that just like a prophet's dream is a revelation, a prophet's interpretation is also a revelation. Hence, Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar, being a virtuous and pious believer, is proven by the divine revelation. The commentator of Bukhari, Allama Badruddin Aini Rahimahullah, states, "Entering paradise in a dream is the evidence of entering paradise in wakefulness on judgment day." Sayyiduna Imam ibn Sirin Rahimahullah states, "The one who dreams that he entered paradise, inshallah, will enter paradise in reality." Sayyiduna Allama Abdul Ghani Nablusi Rahimahullah states, "The interpretation of seeing a deceased person in a beautiful garden is also his presence in paradise." Sayyiduna Allama Abu Tahir Ibrahim Maqdisi Rahimahullah states, "The one who dreamt that he entered paradise and was blessed with the fruits of paradise, it means that he will get knowledge and a prosperous life, because paradise is a house of delights." And there is also an opinion that the person who dreams that he entered paradise will perform an action because of which he will be blessed with paradise, as Allah Almighty proclaims.
تِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي نُورِثُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا مَنْ كَانَ تَقِيًّا.
Translation from Kansul Iman: "This is the garden which we shall bequeath to one who is righteous from our people." Let me also tell you that relating one's own dream is not wrong in every case. It is wrong when the person has the intention that people will admire him if he shares a good dream. Then it is wrong. But where is it allowed to have a bad assumption about anyone? So the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, relating his dreams is proven in ahadith. The holy companions alaihim ridwan, relating their dreams is proven in ahadith. Similarly, we find various incidents of awliya in which they related their dreams. Thus, relating a dream is not wrong in every case. However, we should have the mindset that if we have a good dream, we should perform hamd of Allah Almighty, pay gratitude to Allah Almighty, and relate it to an eligible person. If we have a bad dream, we should perform istighfar, seek refuge with Allah Almighty from its evil, and should not mention it to anyone. At most, we can relate the entire dream to the one from whom we want to know its interpretation if we do not understand it. That is a separate matter. However, it is forbidden. People often share even their bad dreams. They should not do this. Our condition is that not every person is happy with us. This is the simple point. Not every person is happy with us. We say, "Ya Rasulullah," and will continue to say this, Alhamdulillah. Anyway, just understand it. Maybe it will be criticized. Even on what I am saying, there will be criticism understood. Obviously, our condition is such that even if we fly, they will say, "He is flying in a crooked position." There is one incident for such people. It is for those who have such thoughts. There was a husband and wife. The wife would keep grumbling at her husband and would not be pleased with him. Now the husband was a pious bondsman of Allah Almighty and a good Muslim, a pious bondsman who was spiritually advanced. The wife would keep troubling him. Once the wife was standing on the roof and the honorable husband saw her from somewhere outside. He thought, "Today I have the chance." So the husband showed two saintly miracles, or maunat. I mean, if he is a wali, then they were saintly miracles. And if he is a believer and a righteous and pious bondsman, then it is called maunat, not karamat. Anyway, he started flying and his wife was on the roof. He made two or three rounds above and she kept watching. Then he went far so that she would not recognize him, then landed somewhere and entered the house through the door. As soon as the wife saw him coming, she said, "You pretend to be a pious saint of Allah Almighty. Today I saw a pious saint of Allah Almighty." You know, he was flying in the air. When the honorable husband saw that she had realized, he said, "Do you know who he was?" "It was I myself." She said, "Oh, I was thinking it was you. Therefore you were flying crooked." So the wife was not ready to accept the virtue of her husband. This example has been given for such stubborn and rotten-headed people who do not accept even a true thing. Got it? Now, if I say that it's night at this time, you will believe it. But the person who is not happy with me will think I should find a way to prove him a liar and that it's not night, rather it's daytime. Though he cannot prove it, he will give his evidence. I am saying this to explain to you. So do not be so. Just be the followers. So obviously what I said was not against Sharia. The incident I shared about flying is fictional. not real. This is just to explain to you. I also read it somewhere, then I narrated it in my own words. Well, there is a hadith.
Subhanallah.
The beloved final prophet of Allah Almighty states, the example of the person who hears a wise word in a gathering and forwards only a negative point from whatever he heard from his fellow is that someone goes to a shepherd and says, O shepherd, give me a goat to slaughter. The shepherd says, hold a good goat from the herd with its ear and take it with you. And he holds the dog that guards the herd with its ear and takes it with him. I mean, not everyone would have understood it. Its apparent meaning is that the shepherd said, take a good goat, but his mind is such that he caught a dog and took it with him. An example we give is that someone has a beautiful body. A fly has nothing to do with this beauty. It just looks for the boil and the wound. If there is a boil or a wound on the body, it will sit on the wound or the boil and start sucking its blood and pus. This is the destiny of the fly.
Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The sunnah and the commands of Allah. The sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakira. The sunnah and the commands of Allah. Here it is, Madani Muzakira.